They were fishermen. They had no education, but look at them. Unschooled, ordinary men doing this work, astounding the religious leaders of the day, those who were learned and those who were intelligent, those who thought that they knew everything they could about God and the Bible and the book of the law. But here are these unschooled, foolish men doing the work of the ministry. The scripture said, then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you got all you need to do all that God wants you to do.
This is Jerry G. Martin, and welcome to the Light of the World broadcast. It was the Apostle Paul who said, we are fellow workers alongside God. And it was he who also said that we are God's ambassadors. There's no better time than now to allow God to work through your life to reach others for the cause of Christ. Come and go with us as we continue to walk in the light of God's Word.
Whenever you get saved, everybody needs to start at the same starting line. We need to be taught. Paul got saved on the way to Damascus. He was Saul, but the Bible says he spent 3 years being taught by somebody how to walk in this way. So those that are rich and famous, they don't want to spend the time for the in-depth teachers. I'm talking in general, not specifically. And then when they go on and you hear them talking about the Lord and throwing in worldly stuff and all that stuff like that, and you wonder, well, are they really saved? Salvation is open to the rich and the famous, but they have to come to the Lord just like everybody else. They have to recognize they are sinners and that they need a Savior. It is the feeling of inadequacy that makes people aware that they have a need. It's a feeling, it's an understanding that my life is not going the direction that I think it needs to go. Many people come to the Lord in the midst of their darkest times and their tough times, they come to the Lord when they realize I can't control anything else in my life. I need some help. That's when they're aware that they need God and they're drawn to the gospel. Verse 27 says this, but God chose the foolish thing of the world. Now, when he talks about foolish, he's not talking about a fool. What he's saying, the things that are not so recommended, those that are not so recognized, those that are not so appreciated in the culture, in the society. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not so to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast in them. Now I want you to look at something closely in this verse that we just read. It reveals the activity of God. What it says, God chose the foolish. God chose the weak. God chose the lowly things. He chose the despised things and the things that are not. So God is doing some what? Choosing. God is selecting. God is identifying. And God is choosing. Now there is something about choosing that you need to understand. Choosing is always intentional. You don't choose something by accident. You choose it intentionally. What one would you like? When you get your menu at the restaurant, you choose something intentionally. Now, you might not know all of what it is, but that's what you chose. You might not like it when you get it, but you chose it. It is always intentional. God does not choose us accidentally. When something is chosen intentionally, there is something in the heart and the mind of the one doing the choosing that causes him to choose you. So think about that. God, when you chose me, you had something in mind that caused you to do so. Now the question is, what did he have in mind? What did he have in his thoughts in terms of why he chose me and why he want me to participate with him? He saw something in you that he could use. His purpose for doing so and choosing is so that no one can get the credit for the transformed life. You can't get the credit. Jesus told his disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you. So you can have a simple, uneducated, untalented believer who has trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and who's faithful and humbly submitted to the Lord, and he is much wiser and much more effective than a brilliant PhD who mocks and refuses the gospel. The Bible says the fool says in his heart there is no God. That foolish, he may think he's wise, he may think he's smart, he may think he has it all figured out. He thinks he says there is no God. That's why they got a special day for them. They call it April Fool's Day. I was looking at a news item yesterday that talks about the atheist wanting a chaplain in the military. The atheists say, well, we can't have a chaplain. You plan on worshiping something? Here's how this message applies to us. When God chooses us, God wants to use us. And when he chooses us, he's already supplied and equipped us with everything that we need for his use and purpose. We have the equipment, we have the temperament, we have everything we need. We might need a little learning, a little teaching, a little understanding, but we have what we need. God wants to use us. I want to show you how he used these disciples. Now, we remember Peter being called out of the boat and out of fishing, and Jesus saying, we're going to make you fishers of men. What else do we remember about Peter? We remember that when Jesus was arrested and Peter followed him into the courtyard, he denied Jesus three times. He just said, I don't know him. I'm not in that. I don't know him. We're not with him. A month and a half later, 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the message, and then he began that dynamic ministry in the book of Acts. In chapter 2, he preached the message, and 3,000 were saved in that day. In chapter 4, he's on his way to church, and there's a man sitting at the gate begging. Now, Peter could have done like I do and just gone to church because I got something to do, but he stopped and looked at him and spoke into his life and spoke healing into him, and the man was healed. And when the man got healed, the religious authorities got upset. They challenged him and threatened him. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Peter then is responding to the religious leader. The Bible said, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. And then in verse 12, he says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Now, that's the gospel again. He's just preaching the gospel. If you want to know what the gospel is, he just said it in a couple of sentences. In verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, look at this, and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men have been with Jesus. Jesus chose them, and they said, look, they're unschooled. They're unlearned. In the Greek, that they uses the word the moronic. They were morons, they said. They don't know nothing. They didn't go to school. They didn't come to the seminary. They'd never been trained. They were fishermen. They had no education, but look at them. Unschooled, ordinary men doing this work, astounding the religious leaders of the day, those who were learned and those who were intelligent, those who thought that they knew everything they could about God and the Bible and the book of the law and everything. But here are these unschooled, foolish men doing the work of the ministry. In other words, the scripture said this, then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that trumps everything else. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you got all you need to do all that God wants you to do. Hallelujah, because the Holy Spirit will speak through you. He'll work through you. He has the wisdom, knowledge, understanding. He has all of the gifts of the spirits, the working of miracles, everything. He takes charge of everything. He can tell those that are learned what nobody know but them and God. They wonder how you knew that. We can see through the scripture and through the Bible that God do great work And then we can realize that he uses ordinary people. If you feel like you're ordinary and you're still not sure how God might want to use you because of where you are and what you're doing, the stage of your life you're in, and where you go in and out every day, I want to tell you that God will use you wherever you are, even if you're on a job where the people are evil. God can use you to turn the atmosphere, because that's what he expects us to be. He expects us to be a thermostat wherever we go. Not just a thermometer to say it's hot in here. He wants us to change that. If it's too hot, he wants us to bring it down. If it's too cold, he wants us to bring it up. When we walk into the room with the power of God, what God has put in us, things ought to change in the room. The climate ought to change for the better. Or not get worse when we walk in the room, because our attitude and the way we're talking, it ought to get better. When there's a conflict, the peacemaker just walked in the room. Amen. When there's fear, we come in with hope and with power. We can see how God chose people throughout the Bible. Number one, he chose Abram, a pagan, to be the father of the people of Israel. Abram, come on out and go to a land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. Abram could not count for any reason that God chose him. God, why did you choose me? He wasn't a great man. He was, again, his family were pagan worships in a foreign land, and God says, hey, I'm going to use you. He chose Joseph, the youngest son, to be the provider, the prince of Egypt, to open up the avenue for survival for his people. The Bible doesn't tell us why he chose him. God just chose him. And his brothers didn't like it. People might not like what you do when you start working for God. Your kinfolks might not like it. But when God chooses you, they can throw you in a pit. They can put you in a prison. But God got a penthouse waiting for you when you do the work of the Lord. It doesn't matter what anyone else have. When God called you, and you don't have to worry about somebody else authenticating what God wants to do in your life. His brother said, no, ain't no way you're going to be the ruler over us. But God had already declared it, and when God calls it, that's the way it is. He chose David, a shepherd boy in the backside of the wilderness, to be the king over Israel, over all his brothers. David had nothing to do with it. God chose him. He chose Jonah to deliver the warning to the Ninevites. He chose Gideon to be the one who would lead the Israelites against the Midianites when they came and began to destroy all of their crops and everything. Gideon was surprised that God called him to be the leader of the military for that purpose. He was in a cave trying to trample out the grapes and trample out his wheat, hiding from the enemy. And God says, Gideon, almighty man, I'm calling you to defeat the Midianites. And Gideon said, you must be talking to somebody else. You can't be talking about me. Now, Gideon was scared, but God addressed him as a mighty man. God sees what he has for you, even though you have no clue. Gideon talking, you talking about me being a mighty man? And Gideon had to go out and do some fleeces to try to be sure God was talking to him. And he said, Lord, I know you ain't talking to me. One of the reasons that we don't do what God has for us is because we're saying to God, I know you ain't talking to me. That's not me. God said, yes, it is you. That's not me, Lord. Yes, it is you. He chose Jeremiah, who resisted the call to be that prophet to the nation. Jeremiah said, no, I can't go. And God said, yes, I saw you. I knew you before you was in your mother's womb, and I called you to this position. I knew you before your mama knew your daddy. And I already called you before your mama met your daddy. And he did the same for us. He called us and he chose us before the foundation of the world. And he is a little bit disappointed because we haven't started moving out and begin to respond to that call. He chose Peter and James and the other disciples to spread the gospel over the entire world. We're talking about this gospel today because they took that gospel after Jesus Christ left and they began to spread it out over the entire world, these fishermen and unlearned people that nobody respected. See, the world measures greatness by its own standard. At the top of their standard in the world is intelligence, wealth, prestige, and position. But God, however, reveals the greatness of his power by demonstrating that it is the world's nobodies that are his somebodies. That's what he's saying. Now, I can take nobodies that the world think are nobodies. And that's, God doesn't call us fools or nobodies. He says the other folks think you're nobody. But I will make you somebody. Listen, according to the scriptures, the greatest man who ever lived besides Jesus Christ was John the Baptist. He had no formal education, no training in a trade or profession. He had no money, no military rank, no political position, no social pedigree, no impressive appearance. But this is what Jesus said about John the Baptist. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. A nobody coming out of the wilderness, clothed with camel skin, eating locusts and honey, coming and preaching, repent, and making way, making great the road and the preparation of the Lord Jesus Christ coming. I'm calling on you. Here's one coming greater than me, and I'm not able to tie his shoes, and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. God chose him before he was born to be the messenger and the forerunner of Jesus Christ. God still chooses people today. He chose us. We just didn't know it. We didn't know the significance of that choosing. We thought he chose us just to go to heaven. He didn't choose us just to go to heaven, or he could have chose us right before we died. He chose us to bring some heaven on earth. He chose us to bring some heaven on earth. He chose us to speak into people's lives that don't know him, to bring health to the sick and lay hands on the sick, loose those that are bound, set the captives free. Jesus said, I have been anointed to speak to the blind, to bring sight to the blind, to bring those who are in depression, and to break that depression. So what Jesus wanted to do, he wanted us to do. He said, greater works. Jesus said, greater works shall you do. I used to think about that all the time. What do you mean, greater works shall we do? He walked on water. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. And what do you mean, greater works shall we do? He's talking about greater works shall the body of Christ do collectively if we would begin to be engaged with God in his work for the purpose for which he called us. Somebody over here lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Somebody over there cast out demonic forces. If the people of God are doing that all over the world, greater work will we do. God's still choosing people. He chose me and he chose you. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Look at this. Which was prepared in advance of our calling. It was prepared in advance for us to do. Here it is. God prepared the work for you, and then he went to go and choose you so you can do it. It was by grace through faith. We're in this culture, in this time, in this season on purpose. It's no accident that you are here. You can look out over the culture and think how bad things are. Oh, Lord, these things are terrible. Oh, the kids are terrible. The teenagers are terrible. The music is bad. All the videos and television, everything is bad. Men kissing men, women kissing women. Oh, it's so bad. Well, God put you right here in the middle of it with some work already prepared for you to do, knowing what the condition of the culture was going to be. And he said, you got the right stuff to make a difference. And if you don't realize that, all we'll do is shed our window shades and put the burglar bars around our lives and just hope nobody come in and mess with us. And we'll get out on Sunday to try to get with people who think like us and sing like us and just get us a little praise on and go back and lock up our lives again so nobody come in and mess with us. God said, no, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. You are the light of the world. You're supposed to get out and make a difference. You know, there are people who haven't heard. Somebody told me, I don't know whether it was this morning or yesterday, that they were talking to somebody who ain't never heard about the Lord at all. That's what she said. Nobody ever told her about the Lord. The family didn't grow up knowing anything about the Lord. No Bible, no teaching, no information at all. And never have heard anything living in our country, in our city. There are people who are hurting. And we have the message. We have the method. And we have the power. And God wants to use us. You are called. I'm surprised that he chose me. Maybe you are too. Because you have not been functioning to the level that God wants you to function. It is our prayer this year that we change gears. It's our prayers that we get out of reverse and neutral and get in drive and let the Lord use us for the purpose for which he called us. You don't have to try to figure it out. Just say, Lord, I'm available. You call me. You take this last scripture and say, Lord, this word say that you have something prepared in advance for us to do. You have something prepared in advance for us to do. You chose us because you have something in advance prepared for us to do. You know what it is. You lead me to it. I'm available. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you for sorting through all of mankind and choosing us. You didn't have to do it, but you did. It is your grace through faith that we are saved. We thank you for the gift of your salvation. You chose us because you have already designated an assignment for us. I thank you for it right now. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the privilege. We thank you for the window that is open for us during this season, this time in our lives. We thank you, Father. Help us to hear the call. Help us to respond to your call in our lives. Help us to respond to your mission that you have for us individually and collectively. God, you know what it is. And you know who we are and where we are, and you know our strengths, you know our weaknesses, you know our fears, you know our hopes, you know our desires. And we thank you. We bring it all to you. We thank you, Almighty God, for this church. We thank you for the people of this church who will be used in supernatural ways. We thank you, Father, for equipping us and then empowering us to speak what you speak. We thank you, mighty God. We praise you, mighty God. We bless you in this place. Father, there are many people who said they're making themselves available day by day. Remind us and strengthen us and encourage us right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for choosing us, oh Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This is Jerry G. Martin. I certainly hope that you've enjoyed today's broadcast. I've been bringing you a series of messages to encourage you and every believer to become engaged in the work of the ministry that God has called you to. God called no one just to sit back and wait until you can pass away and go to heaven. He saved us so that we can be engaged in reaching a lost world with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you are a vital part of that ministry. I hope that this word has encouraged you to get up from where you are and allow God to help you to be the ambassador that he called you to be. I also want to give you an opportunity to come and join with us in our worship. You can meet us online every Sunday at 10 o'clock at lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. We also have in-person services. We have our medical team screening those that arrive, and we have social distancing, and we ask everyone to wear their mask. If you're looking for a place where you can get connected, join us at the Light of the World. We meet each Sunday at 16161 Old Humble Road. For more information, or if you have a prayer request, call us at 281-964-1393. That's 281-964-1393. Now, if you need Bibles, books, or study material, call us at the Beacon Bookstore on our campus, 281-441-2885. Now, for the Light of the World, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.